Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take Tenfet Talmud. Menachas Chaf Hei, Menachas 25a, pagination is 49. We'll start at the top of the page, Masnisin at the new Mishnah. As we've been discussing, certainly a person endeavors to bring the karban, whether it's an animal or the flower offering, the mincha, in its proper way, without any deviations. But we've been discussing a number of types of variables that could occur to invalidate a karban, an offering. And in some cases, that infringing on the proper way of doing it will indeed invalidate. There are also cases, though, that there might be a miratze, something that makes it good. And even though it was improperly done, it might still be kosher on some level. Even if it's kosher, it might not allow the parts that were meant to be eaten to be eaten. It might just fulfill the person's obligation. And we have all kinds of angles that we can explore, which indeed our Mishnah and Gemara will. Discussions regarding Tumah, if something became ritually impure due to contact. You could have machshavos, improper thoughts, either chutz lezmano, a person at a critical time in the carbon's processing has in mind that the carbon will be eaten at the wrong time, or chutz lemekomo, it's going to be eaten in the wrong place. And we also have the variable of, did this happen to the part of the karban that's meant to be brought on the mizbeach? The komets, a question could be said regarding dam. Or did it happen to the part of the karban that's meant to be eaten? And let's say the flour became tame, but it's the flour that never was meant to be put on the mizbeach. Can I still process the part that goes on the Mizbeach because it's perfectly tahar, or does it just phase out because there's nothing left for that kometz to affect and complete the karban? So the Mishnah states as follows. Nitma ha-kometz, if the kometz, the fistful of the flour offering, became tamei, vehekrivo, and against orders, he brought it anyway on the Mizbeach. Hatzitz miratze, the garment that the Kohen Gadol wore, called the tzitz, is going to make it good. Regarding Toma, the tzitz is miratze. Yotza vehikrivo, if however he took that same fistful and instead of having a Toma experience, let's explore what would happen if he walked out of the Beis HaMikdash and brought it, Eina tzitz miratza, the tzitz would not help you in that case. Sha tzitz miratza al hatomei, because the tzitz is specifically focused on tuma, that's its quality. Ve'ein miratza al hayotze, and it would not help if something was brought out. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned, V'nasa Aaron es avon ha-kadoshim, indeed, Aaron, through his garments, shall be able to bear the sin of the kadoshim. Something went wrong, and he's able to bear it. He's able to make it good. V'chi eze avon hu nose, what sin, what went wrong that he's bearing? Im tomar avon pigul, if it was intent of out of the proper place, hare kvar nemar lo yechashev, the pasuk specifically says, it will not work. So it doesn't make sense to say that the Torah said in one place, it will not work. It's not going to work, besides being the wrong thing to do. It's not going to work. And then say, well, it does work for a different reason. If the tzitz was maratza, then it wouldn't have been a lo yechashev category. Im tomar avon nosar, maybe it's referring to the sin of intent to leave it over to the wrong day. Hare kvar nemar lo yeratze. Over there, it specifically says, different wording, but the same message, that it will not be acceptable. So the sin that's still available, that we could still be open to this teaching, that Aaron is doing something, wearing something that causes no say, causes him to be able to bear that sin. It's meratzeh. It's referring to the cases of tumah that are going to still be okay in the case of tumah hutra betzibur. You might be allowed to actually bring it lechatchila. In the case we discussed in the Mishnah, it was only a case of hikrivo that he actually went ahead and did it against our orders. He did it already, and then it's meratzeh. Let's turn the page, and on tomorrow's daf, we have a Mishnah, fourth line, Chavav Amud Aleph, that continues in the theme that we've been mentioning. Nitma'u shireha. In this case, however, instead of the komets becoming tameh, the leftovers became tameh. Or nisrafu shireha. They were burnt. Avdu shireha. They're lost. It's impossible for the komets to have any impact on the rest of the korban because it's no longer available. Kemidas Rabbi Eliezer kishera. According to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, it's still kosher. You could bring the komets and it's going to work. Uchemidas Rabbi Yeshua psula. And according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, it's pasul. And our Mishnah doesn't bother explaining because this was known, their ruling regarding a korban, and we're extrapolating from that ruling how they would paskin by menachos. As Rashi explains in her commentary, second line, Kemidas Rabbi Eliezer, de'oma beperaketzat solin in psachim, dam, if you have blood, afal pi she'en basar, but there's no flesh anymore, so the blood is not allowing any meat to be eaten, would you still bring that blood? So Rabbi Eliezer holds you do. Dam afal pi she'en basar, even though there's no blood. Blood, even though there's no meat. Hachanami, we extrapolate, the same will be true. Komets, afal pi she'en shirayim, the komets should be brought, even though there are no leftovers that will become mutter to be eaten. Kishera lahaktira komets, you're still able to bring the komets. We'll stop there. Yeshakoach for joining.